You'd like to turn to Matthew 11. And we start at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we just thank you for the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And Lord, as we gather around your Word this morning, as we consider some of the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew's Gospel, we pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would help me to speak, and by your Holy Spirit, you might help us all to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in the 19th century, Samuel Plimsoll was a man with a heavy burden. Through his trading company, he had become aware of the terrible dangers faced by sailors at sea. With unscrupulous ship owners looking for more and more profit, thousands were losing their lives on ships that were dangerously overloaded. And when these ships foundered and sank, the owners stood to make even greater profits from the insurance. Many sailors were not willing to chance it, and so a third of the prison population in southwest England were sailors who had refused to sail on these overloaded ships that had become known as coffin ships. And in 1 year alone, between 1873 and 1874, an astonishing 411 ships sank around the British coast with the loss of over 500 lives. The problem became Plimsoll's mission, and his idea was simple, that every ship needed a load line. In other words, every ship needed a line or a mark on the ship's hull that indicated the maximum depth to which a vessel may be safely immersed when loaded with cargo. Eventually, Plimsoll persuaded Parliament to pass a bill that made load lines compulsory. But under pressure from vested interests, the government compromised and allowed a ship's owner to put the load line wherever he desired. In fact, one upset ship owner was said to have painted the load line on the side of his ship's funnel. Plimsoll fought for another 14 years until laws were passed to make sure the line was set at a level that would ensure a ship's safety. Today, in every port in the world, you can see the result of Plimsoll's work, for every merchant ship carries a mark, a Plimsoll line. And just as Samuel Plimsoll was concerned about the disastrous consequences of ships taking on too much cargo, so Jesus is concerned about the destructive, sometimes deadly consequences of people's lives being overloaded. Some of the most appealing words Jesus ever uttered come from our gospel reading this morning, when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When Jesus said, "Come to me," he was not saying, "Come to religion." Rather, those words were spoken to Jews who adopted a religion so full of rules and regulations that in Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus said the Pharisees and scribes tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Yes, the Pharisees and scribes were dedicated legalists, and their demands were expressed in a religion that had thousands of controls and procedures which put an intolerable burden on the people. But that wasn't Jesus' invitation. His invitation was, come, come to me, because salvation is not found in a burdensome religion, but in a burden-bearing Savior who died for sin and bled to cover our sins and to wash them away. Just imagine if Jesus had said, come to me, all you whose lives are tip-top and burden-free. If that had been the case, then the first thing you'd notice right away is the church would be empty. Because there are only two kinds of people in society: those who admit their shortcomings and those who are in severe denial. And so Jesus issues his invitation to sinners, to the weary, the weak, the sick, the burned out, the overloaded. For not only can Jesus relieve the burdens of religion, he can also relieve the burdens of life. If anyone finds everyday life to be a bit much, then Jesus is for you. If anyone is sick and tired of being sick and tired, this is for you. If anyone is depressed or discouraged or fed up or wiped out, you qualify for membership. This is revolutionary, because when we think of all the mod cons we have today, we have more than ever. We've more money than ever. We've better living conditions than ever. Working conditions are better. We've more holidays and leisure times than ever. And yet, there seems to be more strain, more stress, more striving and more struggling than ever in people's lives. If ever there was a generation noted for suffering from life's burdens, it may well be this one. Whilst we know smoking kills, many don't realize that anxiety can also kill. Worry can kill. Fear can kill. No wonder so many of our hospitals and psychiatric departments are busy treating people who are racked by anxiety and fear, whose lives are burdened, and for some, it is even killing them. Maybe it's not always a crisis. Sometimes our problems and burdens arise from the commonplace things in life, with more strain and stress in the Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 life, than in sudden calamity. John Stott, who was rector of All Souls in London and a fine preacher, also liked to travel extensively. And in 1990, 8 years after the Falklands War, he visited South Georgia, which lies many hundreds of miles to the east of the Falklands. He landed at Gritviken, which is basically an abandoned whaling station, and where Shackleton, the famous explorer, was buried. Behind all the rusty and disused buildings, John Stott came across a lovely Lutheran church which had been restored. In spite of the church being surrounded by elephant seals and king penguins, he managed to gain entry. And inside, on the east wall of the church, he found inscribed in Norwegian, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." No doubt, when the whaling station was operational, life out there would have been incredibly hard and dangerous. And that scripture must have brought comfort and hope to many people. When Jesus spoke those wonderful words recorded in Matthew's gospel, the implication is that everyone, in one way or another, is burdened. And like those in the past who made a living in the whaling industry at Grytviken in the South Atlantic, so we also, in our day, we get challenged, exhausted, burdened, and overloaded. If we ever come to the place of being completely free, burden-free, we will have reached heaven. But until then, we should expect burdens. In fact, everyone we know carries burdens of one kind or another. There can be anxiety for our country, the economy, terrorism, the national debt, and so on. There are those who are anxious as they try to stretch their limited income, which never seems to go quite far enough. And still there are others who are anxious as they wait for their blood test results, their biopsy reports, CT scans and the like, and are fearful for their future. Sometimes the list of things that can burden us seem overwhelming and endless. Maybe we've been trying to do something we can't do, something that God hasn't told us to do, and now we're weary and burdened. We could be gripped by something we can't get free from. Perhaps we have a sorrow and we feel life has little or no meaning. We could be feeling we're a failure and we're burdened by guilt. It could be a loved one has been taken from us and we can't forgive God. If anyone has a burden that is too heavy, then bring it to Jesus. It doesn't matter how difficult your burden might be, just bring it with you to Jesus and bring your questions too. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," he's saying, don't try and fix yourself before you come to me. Don't be in denial about your problems and your burdens, but come to me, for your burdens are not an obstacle to me. All of us know what it's like to be weary and burdened. Maybe it's a sickness you've been diagnosed with. Then bring it to Jesus. He may heal you, but even if he doesn't, he will satisfy you and give you grace to get through it. If it's your situation, a crisis you're in which nobody else knows about, then bring it to the Lord anyway. Whatever it is, across the invitation to come to Jesus is a sign. No load too heavy. No load too heavy. Nearly 30 years ago, my first wife left me. The first I knew about it was when I returned home from a business trip and found a letter on the kitchen table. This was a huge shock and a very heavy burden to deal with. 2 months later, I gave my life to the Lord, and although my burdens weren't removed, I felt more able to carry them because I had a peace and a rest that I'd never experienced before. However, there was a setback a few weeks later. Perhaps I'd inadvertently taken my eyes off Jesus, because the pain of loss and loneliness suddenly returned with force and hit me so hard that it felt like someone had hit me where it really hurts. And in the desperation of the moment, I shouted out to God at the top of my voice, "Help me!" Immediately, I felt this heat, this warmth come all over me. And instantly, I just knew it was God, and he was there at my side to help me. It was as if Jesus was saying to me, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You walk with me. I'll put my shoulder under the other side. You put your shoulder under your side, and we'll carry this together, and it's all going to be better forever." And it's so comforting when Jesus adds, "For I am gentle and humble in heart." In other words, following Jesus won't crush us because he's gentle at the core of his being. Jesus won't use us or throw us away because he is humble in heart. He doesn't merely look out for his own interests. He really does care about us and what we are experiencing in our lives. And then Jesus completes verse 29 saying, "And you will find rest for your souls." This is a quotation from Jeremiah 6, verse 16. As is often the case, the original context of this verse in Jeremiah gives us insight into why Jesus quoted it here in Matthew's Gospel. Jeremiah 6 is a chapter that describes the judgment coming against Jerusalem because the people, from the least to the greatest, had abandoned the Lord and his ways. But God made this invitation through his mouthpiece, Jeremiah. "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But you said, 'We will not walk in it.'" If the people would only be open to another way of living, they could seek and ask for it. Not only were their ancient paths well trodden and safe for travelers, but they were the time-tested way of walking with God. Sadly, we are living in times when the ancient paths are increasingly viewed as obsolete. But for those who seek and find this good way and walk in it, they can expect rest for their souls. If anyone knows about this way of life and doesn't live it out, then they will experience turmoil and frustration and exhaustion. Rest for our souls is much deeper than physical rest. Our biggest problem is not tired muscles, but the need for soul rest. We need rest from worry. We need release from tension. We need release from stress, from guilt, from fear, from bitterness, from anxiety. This is soul rest. Some 10 years ago, when I was asked to be a speaker at a conference in Dorset, I was so thrilled to be invited that I accepted straight away. Shortly after I put down the phone, I got this nagging feeling that I would have to come up with something pretty special because most of the people at this conference would be ministers who had a lot more experience than I did. Anyway, the conference wasn't for another 5 months, so I had plenty of time to prepare. And as the weeks and months went by, all my attempts to prepare a talk came to nothing. And so this invitation to speak became a real burden. And when the day arrived to drive down to the conference, I was almost in a panic because I still hadn't got a talk prepared and the stress was giving me headaches. And when Hazel and I got down to the conference, I was relieved to see from the program that I would be not speaking until the second day. So I still had some time to get this talk sorted. On the first day, I went for a long walk in the afternoon. As I started out, I prayed to God. But by the time I had to turn back, I'd heard nothing from him. The realization that I couldn't duck out of giving a talk, even if it meant making a fool of myself, made my burden even heavier. And when I got back to our room, I sat on the bed and in desperation, I caved in and handed everything over to God. Suddenly, God showed me what I should say. And when I finished my notes, the heavy burden was lifted and I fell asleep elated and at peace. My mistake had been to take control as if everything depended on me. I'd attempted everything in my own strength, and this had got me nowhere. All that happened was I got increasingly burdened, and it was only when I truly gave up my burden to the Lord that he responded. Part of the solution to burdens is recognizing the unnecessary ones and learning how to be rid of them by handing them over to God. We can be a Christian, even a Christian leader, and in our enthusiasm we decide to handle things our way, and in the process we get detached from Jesus Christ. So many of us want to come to Jesus and ask for his help, but we aren't actually willing to let him have control. We secretly hope we can make life work for ourselves and just have him walk behind us, making sure any messes are cleaned up. But what Jesus wants us to do is to humble ourselves and trust that he knows how to handle our troubles better than we do. It's that simple. Come to me, says Jesus. Give up control. Whilst there are unnecessary burdens that we can get rid of, there are other burdens that are a necessary part of life. And there is not a person in this world who has never felt the weight of a burden. For Jesus did not say, "Come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will take away your burdens." Neither did he say, "Come to me and I will fix your problems." What Jesus actually said was, "Come to me all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus' promise to everyone today is if you come to him, you will find rest for your soul. The type of rest that Jesus offers you is not an absence of burdens, but a rest in the midst of your problems. For Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what is the yoke of Jesus Christ? No doubt we know that a yoke is a horizontal wooden bar that is laid on the necks of oxen. But in biblical times, the Jewish people used to speak of the yoke of the Torah when they submitted to the authority of the Lord. Again and again in the Old Testament, the yoke is a symbol of authority. And therefore, taking a yoke upon us is a symbol of submitting to that authority. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," he is inviting us to enter his school and become his disciples. With this invitation to take his yoke, Jesus is inviting us to regard him as our teacher and to submit to him as our Lord. And if we do this, he promises to give us rest. And when Jesus says in the last verse 30, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, it's not light because he demands less of us, it's lighter because he bears it with us. His yoke actually provides rest, not weariness, to those who serve him. The least burdened person in the world is the person under the yoke of Christ. It's a sweet yoke. It's a pleasant yoke. It's a stunningly gracious yoke. And as we come to him, we are able to cast all our cares on him. Yes, our sin, but even more than that, our fears, our anxieties, our disappointments, our discouragements. Jesus Christ's invitation is to join him in the yoke. He doesn't just want our burden, he wants us, and we have nothing to lose except our weariness. Joseph Scriven, son of a captain in the British Royal Marines, was born in Ireland in 1819. After receiving his degree from Trinity College Dublin, he eventually established himself as a teacher. He fell in love and made plans to settle down. Then tragedy struck. The evening before his wedding, his fiancée died. Overcome with grief, he left Ireland to start a new life in Canada. He settled in Ontario, where he eventually met and fell in love with Eliza Roche. Just weeks before she was to become his bride, she suddenly got sick, and in a matter of weeks, Eliza died. As a shattered man, Joseph Scriven turned to the only thing that had anchored him during his life, his faith. And through prayer and Bible study, he found not just comfort, but a mission. And so he consecrated his life, his home, and his possessions to care for the physically handicapped and the financially destitute. 10 years later, Joseph Scriven received word that his mother had become very ill, heartbroken that he didn't have the funds to return home and care for her. He felt the need to reach out to her, and so he wrote her the story of his life in 3 short verses, and I'd just like to read them out to you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. As you've probably realized, those 3 verses became a well-known hymn. Isn't it wonderful that despite all the tragedy in his life, Joseph Scriven could still declare, what a friend we have in Jesus. Millions and millions of people today are seeking rest, seeking peace, seeking freedom and joy. How can we find it? The answer is clear in the greatest invitation made when Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't it shocking that it's not those who have it all together who are super duper top-notch people that Christ invites? No, Christ invites children, the dependent, the broken and guilt-ridden, those who walk with a limp, the bedraggled, the frail, the tired and weary, and the burdened. In this invitation, Jesus is offering to exchange your single yoke for a double yoke, a yoke which he shares with you. And once you take up the yoke of Jesus, you'll find how light it is compared to all other yokes. So this morning, say yes. Say yes to Jesus and take up his life-sustaining yoke. Let Jesus shoulder the brunt of whatever you are carrying, whether it is the burden of sadness, sickness, guilt, loneliness, anger, or confusion, and you will experience true rest. Thanks be to God. Amen.